Some of the best advice I received, or I guess memorable, I don't know if it was that great of advice, was when I was a high school tennis player. And I was coming into my final match of my what ended up being my high school tennis career. I got matched up in our subsectional tournament against this dude that was incredibly good, went on to play college tennis. And I knew, I'm like, I didn't belong on the court with this guy. So my coach, who's a motivational guy, he says, you know what you do when you face opposition like this guy? You smack your racket on the ground and you say, bring it on, you son of a... And he said it. I was like, okay. He's like, all right, coach. I mean, and I was like, you realize he's still way better than I am, right? So he's like, go get him, bring it on. Yeah, it was probably about a half hour match. I got what's called double bageled, meaning I didn't win a game. I lost 06-06 to this kid. So, but it was memorable because he's like, when you face opposition, just have that mentality. And I bring up that advice in particular because Jesus is going to face opposition today. Now, as you can probably guess, Jesus does not respond to opposition in the same way my coach said, by smacking something on the ground and swearing at somebody. But he does have to deal with opposition. So that's what we are going to look at today. And he faces what I would say are three different types of opposition. He's misunderstood, he's attacked, and he's mocked. And I see those all as types of opposition. So we're going to see this today as we continue the road to the cross. We're almost finished, excuse me, with our series. We'll wrap up Friday with the crucifixion and then the resurrection on Sunday. But today, Jesus is going to go before Pilate and actually get condemned to death. And when he goes through this, he does actually face these three types of opposition. And what he does when he is faced with opposition, Jesus stays focused on God, focused on the Father and the plan and the will that he has for his life. So for us, when we face opposition, here's what I would say. When you face opposition, turn your face towards God. When you face opposition, turn your face towards God, meaning keep God as the focal point when you face opposition, how you respond and what you do with it. So that's what we're going to look at. Jesus does that in these three ways. We're going to look at it in the Gospel of Mark. So let's start with that. We're going to be in Mark chapter 15 today, the beginning of 15. You can use your Bibles on the tables. You can also, the words will be right up here. I will be in the NIV translation as usual. So let's dive in. We are going to start with Mark 15, 1 through 5. It says this, very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Are you the king of the Jews? Asked Pilate. You have said so, Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, aren't you going to answer? See how many things they're accusing you of. But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. All right, we'll stop there. So we're introduced right off the bat. Let's talk about what happened here first. We're introduced to Pilate. Pilate is an appointed ruler, the governor of this region. The Jews weren't always such big fans of Pilate. The stories kind of go, he tried to bring in a little more Roman influence into Jerusalem and into the Jews. They weren't always huge fans of that. But Pilate knows this, and Pilate needs some favor with them a little bit because it helps him politically. All right, so that's who Pilate is. They bring Jesus, the Sanhedrin, as we talked about last week. These are a lot of the Jewish rulers and officials. They bring Jesus to Pilate and make a bunch of accusations against him. He's a troublemaker. He's a revolutionary. He's this ruler. He's a threat. And Pilate, for the most part, he wouldn't really care if Jesus is like this prophet or anything like that. But what does get him a little bit is the accusation of being a king. Because this is potentially threatening to Caesar and the Roman government. Pilate's not such a huge fan of this. So that's why he asks him, are you king of the Jews? And Jesus replies with, you have said so. Now, sometimes when people read this, they'll think Jesus is saying this in like a sarcastic tone, like, oh, you've said so. But it's actually really, we're pretty sure, a confirmation of you have said so as a, yep, you've said it. You're right. I am indeed king of the Jews. And then they throw even more accusations at Jesus. And Pilate's like, respond, man. Like, don't you want to say anything to this? And Jesus says nothing. He stays silent. And Pilate is amazed. And this is not like Pilate being amazed or in awe. Like I would say to my wife, like, wow, babe, I'm amazed by you. It's not the same type of amazement. This is like a disbelief of, are you serious? You have all this being thrown against you, and you're not going to say anything. So Pilate's kind of like in this amazement. But his big thing is that Jesus confirms being king of the Jews. Here's the thing. Pilate doesn't understand the type of king Jesus is. the non-revolutionary, the non-threat. Because if he did, he probably still wouldn't really care. But he thinks Jesus is actually the opposite type of king than Jesus actually is. Jesus is misunderstood, and that is the type of opposition that Jesus faces here, being misunderstood. As I was thinking about being misunderstood, I kind of came to the conclusion that there may not be a group of people that feel more misunderstood than teenagers, right? There was a song written in 1988 by Will Smith and DJ Jazzy Jeff, "Parents Just Don't Understand." It was a song about how parents just don't get it. Sam, you are my resident teenager in the room. Everybody's laughing because we know where this is going. Sam gets to talk about this. Sam, do you feel like your parents always understand you? Your mom sometimes understands you. What about your dad? I know he's sitting right behind you. It's fine.
If we, like, go out and sit down.
So if you go out and sit down and have, like, a conversation.
He's treading very lightly.
He is. He's doing really, he's like, navigating. Sam's doing really well navigating this. He's like. Yeah, so who understands you more? Your mom or your dad? This is being recorded. He doesn't want to. All right, I'm going to let Sam off the hook here on this. I told him I was going to him for this, so it's always fun to go to Sam. But the fact is, I mean, we were all teenagers at one point. I felt like my parents didn't understand me as a teenager. They're like, why would you want to wear that bright orange shirt or grow your hair that way or do whatever, all of this stuff. People feel like parents don't understand them. Misunderstood, it's hard. Nobody likes being misunderstood. That's the opposition that Jesus faces here. And I think I just started something in the Hack household that's going to get talked about later. That's okay. Let us know how it goes. Sam and Ryan are going to sit down and talk about it, and they'll understand each other. So Jesus is being misunderstood here. That's the opposition he faces. He's misunderstood by Pilate as king of the Jews. Is he king of the Jews? Yes, but Pilate doesn't understand what being king of the Jews means. So what does Jesus do? He stays focused on God. He keeps his face towards God. He doesn't fight to correct him. He doesn't fight to correct this assumption. And why? Because with his face pointed on God, he knows the plan and the will that the Father has for him is to go to the cross and die. He has to do this. And Jesus knows if he pushes back or corrects, things might change. So in the face of opposition, he keeps his face pointing to the Father and to nobody else. That's how Jesus responds to his opposition here when he's misunderstood. Now, for us, people will misunderstand us as Christians sometimes. This happens. They might misunderstand what it means to follow God. They might misunderstand why we behave the way we do as followers of Jesus, or what we say, or anything like that. And here's the thing. There will be times in these moments to stay silent like Jesus did, where it's just they're just going to misunderstand. And there's times where we might get to explain, and that would be helpful to explain to somebody. But in either case, we should also, like Jesus, keep our faces pointed towards God, staying true to who he is and letting him guide our response in the face of being misunderstood and in the face of this type of opposition. So being misunderstood is a type of opposition, but keep your face on God when that happens. Let's look at opposition type number two. This is going to be Mark 15, 6 through 15. We get to meet another new character. Now it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. We will stop there. This is what I would say is really the attack. Jesus is actually attacked here. And I think it's really done by this crowd, and we're going to get to that here in a little bit. But he's attacked. That's his opposition. Now, in this time, it says there's this customary thing where a prisoner could be released. This is somewhat common. We don't know if it happened every year at this time, but it was common to have a prisoner released. All right? And now, as soon as they say that, we're introduced to Barabbas. It is a name you may recognize if you've heard the Easter story before or grown up in church at all. Barabbas is brought up. He is a type of revolutionary. He participated in some sort of uprising in which people were killed. There's kind of some varying stories on what really happened. But basically, the thing to look at here is he is a stark contrast to Jesus. He is actually a revolutionary. He would do and use violent means to accomplish his goals versus Jesus, who was always nonviolent and love and grace. All right. So now we know we have Jesus. Now they introduce Barabbas. And the crowd goes to Pilate and say, hey, do what you usually do, which is release a prisoner. So Pilate asks, who? The king of the Jews, thinking Jesus. And he's got to be in his mind like, all right, I can get out of this one now, this whole thing with Jesus. They'll pick him. He seems all right. Great, it's done. But the crowd chants for Barabbas. They say Barabbas instead of Jesus. And Pilate's got to be kind of confused because he's like, he's not really this huge threat if we think about it, but the high priest and everybody's probably jealous of him, maybe envious, but the crowd is still chanting Barabbas. And they're doing this under the influence of the high priests, all right, out of the leaders. They're down there whooping up the crowd, stirring up the crowd, saying, tell them Barabbas, because these were very influential. So this crowd is very pro-high priest, not necessarily a pro-Barabbas crowd, but they follow the influence of the high priest. So Pilate says, okay, if I release Barabbas, what do we do to this king of the Jews? And they say, crucify him. And Pilate's like, why? What has he done? Because crucifixion was often used more for people convicted of treason and something like that. And he's like, "What? Why would we do this?" And the crowd just doesn't even bother with that question. They just say, crucify him. So then Pilate, because he needs his political favor, he doesn't want to upset anybody, he hands him over, he's flogged, and he sends him off to be crucified. So the opposition here that Jesus faces, I think, is the attack from the crowd, because the crowd is the one that says, we want Barabbas released, that's who we're picking, and we want Jesus crucified. And this is all done under the influence of somebody else. So let's think about this. If you are, we'll do a little experiment, you know, you all are able to pick something, all right, and I am going to try to influence you to do that. So let's have some fun with this, all right? We're going to decide which of Jeff's old hairstyles we should bring back. So, Sam, can we? All right. So, as we can see here, we have the 1998 bowl cut. I think I was seventh grade. We have the 2001 clean cut. That's, I believe, for our sophomore year of high school. The 2007 college mop cut with the soul patch goatee. Okay. Now, here's the thing. You guys are all out there. I'm like the high priest. So I'm out here whooping up saying, mop cut, mop cut, mop cut. Somebody's over here. Which one do you want? And now you're all like, mop cut. All right? Even if you don't care. But I'm out here saying, mop cut, mop cut, mop cut. That's the one I'm bringing back. My wife is like, please don't bring back the mop cut. Please don't do it. All right? So I go, okay, I'm bringing back the mop cut. What do we do with the other two? Delete them. Never again should they be used. Delete it. Empty the trash bin. Get rid of those pictures. Those two hairstyles don't exist. I know that's silly, but that's kind of what's happening here. The crowd, I don't know if they actually really care, but under the influence of somebody else, they decide to release Barabbas, and they seal Jesus' fate to be crucified. We can take that down now, Sam. I don't think anybody needs to see any more of that. So Jesus, there is anger for who Jesus is. He's attacked because he's king of the Jews. They're convicting him to death because of this. All right, they're angry, and it's all from under the influence of somebody else. But Jesus doesn't fight back. Human nature would be to fight back on this. He could have in many different ways. But again, he kept his face on the Father and again followed the will and the plan that God had for his life. Because if he fights back, maybe he doesn't go to the cross and die, which is what we know he has to do. So for us, people may oppose or attack us for who we are as Christians or who they think we are. In Jesus' case, they got the king of the Jews thing wrong, as we've talked about. But when we keep our face pointed towards God, God will help us respond and not retaliate. So respond with love, grace, and truth versus retaliate out of anger, slander, malice, attacking somebody. Which one of those two sounds more like Jesus? Responding. And we may just have to be okay at times with what people think, even if they got it wrong about us. We might just have to be okay with it. It's hard But sometimes we just have to be okay with it. And then other times, maybe we can take that opposition, some of the anger people might have about us as Christians, and get the chance to turn that into peace. But in either case, keep your face on God first and let Him guide you in that response and how you're supposed to go about it, because He's got a better way than we do. That's what Jesus does when He's attacked, is stays focused on what God has for Him. All right, so He was misunderstood. He was attacked. Let's look at number three, our last one. This is Mark 15, 16 to 20. Let's read that now. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on Him, twisted together a crown of thorns, and set it on Him. And they began to call out to Him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck Him on the head with a staff and spit on Him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to Him. And when they had mocked Him, they took off the purple robe and put His clothes on Him. Then they led Him out to crucify Him. That's where we'll stop for today here. So Jesus is mocked. He's made fun of. That is His opposition here from the soldiers. These soldiers probably don't know a lot about Jesus. They were probably brought in from the regions that were close by to work for Pilate at this time. So basically, they may only know Jesus as a potential threat to Caesar, which is who they serve. So they probably don't know much about Jesus, definitely what being king of the Jews would really mean. So what they do is, in mocking Him, they in essence outfit a king, but in a mocking way. They put a purple robe on Him. Purple generally was only for the wealthy. Purple dye was very expensive at this time, so it would have been something wealthy or rich wore. So they put a nice one on Him, but then beat Him while He's wearing it and make fun of Him while He's wearing it. And this is the point, to make fun of Him. He's hit with this rod. In Matthew's account, it says they probably also hand it to Him to be like a scepter that kings might hold. And then there's the crown of thorns, right, which is painful, as you can guess, with the thorns, you know, driving into His head. And it's a fake crown, so they're making fun of Him. They are mocking Him. And they finish it off by saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And this is kind of in, like what they would say, actually, after a big Roman victory. They would say, "Hail Caesar," as they came back in. So, like, "Hail, King of the Jews," and this is incredibly mocking. You know, they're bowing and all this stuff, just making fun of Him, being like, "You're this weak, weak king," supposedly. Not like a ruler we would serve. So then finally, they're sin. It's basically like, "Oh, we're done with this. We've made fun of Him enough." So they rip the clothes off Him, which, by the way, is probably incredibly painful because He's already all cut up. Give Him His clothes back, and they lead Him away to be crucified. And we'll pick up the crucifixion story next week. But the big thing here is Jesus is mocked for being King of the Jews. Right? He's made fun of for being who He actually is. In high school, I was in show choir. And my sophomore year, I actually tried out, and I didn't get in, but I was what's called an alternate. And we had alternates that would, basically you would get in if somebody could no longer do it anymore, had to drop out. But what we did that year was had a madrigal dinner. If you're familiar with madrigal dinners, these are, you know, kind of the old royalty kings and queens and knights dinner. And then you would invite the community. They would come in and eat, and there would be like a performance from the madrigals. Well, they let us alternates be pages for this dinner. So what we got to do is we basically were the servants for the head table, for all these other people we know. So we got to come up. But here's the thing. We were dressed very funny. We wore this black hat with bells on it, this brightly colored shirt, incredibly bright neon pink shorts and black tights. I looked for a picture, didn't have one apparently anymore. But this is what we wore. And we were the only ones that could go up to the head table. So at one point, this guy that I'm friends with, who's in the group, calls me up front and says, "Oh, Paige, come on up here." So I bring him his water, whatever he asked for. And then this is what he does. He grabs him by the hand, and he starts twirling me around like this. And he goes, "Look, everyone, I'm turning the page," making fun of me for being a page, for who I am. Now, granted, this was part of it. Right, he thought it was hilarious. And honestly, I'm trying not to laugh because it was pretty funny. But I just have to be up there and take the butt of the joke. Why? Because it's who I was as the page. That was the idea. But I was made fun of just for being the page. Jesus is made fun of just for being King of the Jews, even though they got it totally wrong about what he means being King of the Jews. Jesus could have retaliated as they're making fun of Him. How easy it is for when we're being made fun of to want to fire back with any sort of making fun of or crude comment back. That's the easy thing to do. Jesus doesn't do it. Because being mocked was, again, part of what Jesus knew He had to go through. So again, for the third time now, He didn't go face to face with his opposition. He kept his face on the Father and followed through with God's plan. Being made fun of is not fun. It hurts, it's mean, and there's not always a lot we can do about it. Christians maybe get made fun of for believing in something we can't see and can't prove, right? Or, oh, you're a Christian, you never have any fun. Right? You don't do anything fun. You're just a goody-goody. You're going to go to church and pray instead of play in whatever sporting event we got going on. And sometimes it's done subtly. But we can get made fun of at times. And it's not fair. It can still hurt. But we just have to be confident in who we are as Christians and what God has done and who he is in our lives. Let people see who you are. And as tempting as it sounds, don't make fun of anybody back. As much fun as that can sound like it is, it's not what God would want. It's not what Jesus does in the face of being mocked. Keep our faces pointed towards God. Let him again guide the response. And let God be your comfort and peace when you're mocked. And ask him how you should respond. All right, so those three types of opposition: being misunderstood, attacked, and mocked. Opposition will come in some form for all of us. It might be a misunderstanding, might be an outright attack, might be being made fun of, and it might be something we didn't even cover out of this passage today. But the point is to turn your face towards God before going face to face with the opposition. Face towards God first before you go face to face with that opposition. Let him guide your response and guide you in what you're supposed to do. He will help with whatever the response is. He's who we follow. So don't compromise following him to oppose someone back. That's not what he wants. Because with our faces pointed towards God, we can respond to opposition in the way that God would want us to and in a way that reflects him. Let's pray. God, we thank you again for this passage. Just for the story, even as hard as sometimes the stories are to read about what Jesus is going through, God, I thank you that we can remember it. We thank you for what Jesus did. And then thank you that there's something we can take from it, God, that we can learn about dealing with opposition when it comes our way. So I pray that we would keep our faces on you, God, our eyes on you, our hearts on you, as we face any sort of opposition or pushback or anything, God, and that you would be the guide for us, God, that you would be our eyes as we go forward. In your name, amen.